Welcome to this Saturday night on KABC. I am Bill Jenkins. This is Open Mind. And tonight, we want to open your mind again to a blending of two worlds that we're seeing happen more and more and more. There is the world of the metaphysical. There is the world of the physical. And as science gets more involved, it becomes more pristine and understands more about what it's doing. They get together. And we have a couple of people to be with you tonight who I am delighted that will be here. Dr. Robert Beck, Dr. Bob Beck, will be joining us about 10:30 tonight. And we will talk about the incredible world of the ELF signals, the effect that science can have on the mind. And we will talk to Bob Beck in about an hour and a half. But I am very delighted tonight to have with me Dr. Valerie Hunt. She is at UCLA. She's really one of the biggies at UCLA, in fact. And she has discovered some amazing things about the human body and about the aura and about how electricity in the body may be doing something to help you heal. Dr. Hunt, welcome to Open Mind.
Thank you, Bill. Nice to be with you.
Well, it's very nice to have you here, Doctor. What is this auric field and the human aura, and what does that have to do with health, and are we really seeing it now? Are we taking it out of the area of the mystics?
Indeed we are, Bill. This has happened now for approximately 10 or 12 years we've been working on this, and other researchers also have been working, in which we have found that there is light radiating from the body in the form of photons, and I have discovered electromagnetic energy radiating from the body, which is seen by aura readers, or readers that individuals that can visualize, and has been called an aura. Mm-hmm. But actually what we're finding is that it's much more elaborate and it's much more exciting scientifically than the material that's been written in the metaphysical.
Okay. Now, you say you're doing your research. Are you doing this at UCLA?
I have done it at UCLA. I'm not at UCLA at the present time. I'm an emeritus professor.
Uh-huh.
But I was there for 35 years where this work was originally started.
They've been working a long time on it. I know Dr. Moss was over there for a while.
Yes, she was there. She was not working in the same thing that I was doing, but she was working on the field of energy radiating from the body.
So there is an energy field that the body
yes,
radiates.
Yes, indeed, a very strong one.
Some researchers have told us that there is within the human body, in the form of potential energy, into the billions of watts of energy.
I'm sure it is that amount. The amount that we gain, that we are able to record, is very small, but it is continuous and it's constant. And if this is focused, you know, it's like the light of a small light bulb. When it's incoherent, energy is not very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's made coherent, then it has the great, great power like a laser.
If we can do something to make it potential, the potential energy, kinetic energy, we've done something then, have we not?
Indeed we have.
Do you see any inroads happening in the world of science where we can start using the energy that we all have? And if you want to be religiously mystic for a minute, the energy that Jesus taught us that we had.
Yes, indeed.
How do we use it?
Well,
how do we turn it on?
We have evidence, and I researched it in the laboratory, that the people who are called healers, sometimes they're called spiritual healers or
mm-hmm.
psychic healers, it's the same thing. These are individuals that are able to radiate energy and to pinpoint it. And I did study a great many healers and found that at the time of their healing, their body radiated a very powerful, low-frequency energy, which is the healing energy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bill, they had two things going on. They had a high-frequency energy, which seems to be associated with their consciousness. And the fact that they can move into the mystical realms in which they have more information than most people have. But it seems that the energy which did the primary changes in the physiology was a relatively low-frequency radiation, and that is not being used now in hospitals for the treatment of fractures, a low-radiation energy. And it's used for treatment of fractures, for the healing of burns, for all types of trauma.
It took a long time for the AMA to go ahead and let them use those machines in hospitals, didn't
it? Well, yes, because, you see, they are a mechanical machine. Now, ideally, the human body radiates a vibration which is just as effective in healing And you see, it cannot harm because it is a normal human energy. And each one of us have that energy, and we can learn to pinpoint it. We can learn to change the field into more coherency and can learn to treat ourselves.
Is this the energy that some people use that have this amazing ability, for instance, to bend spoons and change and alter things?
Yes, it's the same energy. It's exactly the same energy. It's put to a different function. This is a function in which we're moving a mechanical thing, and that is we're distorting a mechanical thing rather than also affecting the circulation, the blood vessels, the endocrines, and so forth. It's the same energy.
So the ability to turn on this energy, whether we can do it ourselves...
Anyone can do it, Bill.
...or have it stimulated in some fashion is perhaps a whole new roadway toward healing.
Let me tell you just one story. It's a very dramatic one. A young man, a football player, who had had multiple fractures of all of the bones of the feet and was badly swollen and been told that he would not probably ever play football again. It was such an extensive fracture. I think it came as a result of an automobile collision. He was in one of my classes, and when he came, I said to him, no, I think we can heal this, and we can heal it rather rapidly. I am a registered physical therapist, so I do work on injury and things of this type. But I taught him to breathe energy through his feet. Now, this was just as though his nose was down at his feet. And to breathe through his feet and to breathe up into his abdomen and then back down through his feet, in 2.5 months, he had a total healing of multiple fractures that they did not expect that he would ever walk without a limp. Now, this sounds like a miracle, but it really isn't.
Well, I'm wondering how you can breathe through your feet. So
well, you can imagine that you're breathing through your feet.
Okay.
You follow?
Okay.
And as you imagine this, what happens is you move the electromagnetic energy up through the feet by the very thought process.
Uh-huh.
You can do it to any part of your body.
So it's our own little switching
system.
Correct.
By conscious thought.
Well, the whole body is honeycombed with all of these little nerve ends and cascade discharges going on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And something controls that. It's us that controls that, then.
Of course.
It's usually done in a subconscious way, I presume. But are you saying that we can consciously now begin to move this energy around within our own body?
Yes, indeed.
How do you do it?
Well, first you do it by thinking about the area. The second one is we want a flow of electromagnetic energy. Now, we have found in our laboratory that this energy does not flow through the nerves primarily. And you know about meridians and acupuncture
mm-hmm.
plots.
Right.
But it primarily flows through connective tissue. And connective tissue is the most extensive tissue in the entire body. Mm-hmm. It holds the body together, forms organs, holds the cells. And so it is the most extensive, and it flows through this. So that we have direct access then to any part of the body which we want. So if you would take, for example, and you would think about an area that has been injured or that is in pain, you would think about that, and you would concentrate on moving energy in and out of that area you want a flow to occur. And I use the breathing.
Mm-hmm.
It's as though you're breathing through your foot, you're breathing through your hand, you're breathing through the back of your neck, in which you see energy moving back and forth, and then we record, and the fact is that you do move the energy.
Does this affect the aura when you move it?
Yes, indeed. The aura gets more elaborate, and it does change in its frequency. Now, we were able to record energy in the human body from the surface, which is up to 200,000 cycles per second. Now, you know, that doesn't mean anything. It's like $1 million if you never saw it.
Well, there's a lot of cycles there.
Yeah, there's a lot of cycles.
We can only hear at best 16,000 of them.
Yeah, but when you compare it with brainwaves
mm-hmm.
that we get so excited about, and most of the brainwave we talk about is up to about 12 or 14 cycles per second, and that's 12, we're talking about 200,000 now, and the muscle and the heart contraction is between 200 and 250 cycles. We're up to 200,000.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're working here with the atomic level of the body.
And you can just turn it on and off if you know how to do it.
You can turn it on and off. and it really is very easy to move it.
Are we leading ourselves then into an era where we will see no sickness, perhaps? No disease?
Well, we're certainly moving into an area where if we can maintain, I believe, the health of the electromagnetic system. Now, we've talked about physical health as being connected with the organs and the circulation and so forth. But if we can think about health as health of the electromagnetic field, which is even at a deeper level than the health that we're speaking about, we can offset many, many, many of the diseases and dysfunctions that occur in the aging population.
Well, it seems that you're saying to me something, if I can put it in my own kind of words, Dr. Hunt, that forever, I suppose, that we have dealt with physical illness on a very physical level.
That is correct.
Using chemicals and knives and needle and thread, things of this nature. But we have never really dealt with the matrix upon which this physical body is built.
Yes, I like what you just said. That's absolutely correct.
And so we have an electromagnetic matrix that holds it all together.
Correct. That probably is the source. I believe that the electromagnetic field becomes disturbed before it's ever manifested in the physical tissue.
Mm-hmm.
And that by that time it's already, you know, it's downstream. I think the time will come when we will pick up cancer in the electromagnetic field months to years before it's ever manifested in the body.
What is it that disrupts this magnetic field, this matrix?
Lots of things.
That's what I thought.
Lots of things. One of the major ones is emotion.
Stress. Emotion.
Yep.
Probably you can get right down to stress, because emotion always brings on stress one way or another.
Well, correct. It does. Except if these are frustrating emotions. Not all emotion brings on stress, but the frustrating ones certainly do bring
on stress. Some emotions are fun.
Yeah, they are fun, and they're clear, and they're pure. And it's only when it's a frustrating one that it creates the stress situation. This is one of the major ones. Food, for example, changes the field also. The vegetables and the fruits and the nuts that so many people now are putting as a part of their diet keeps the field much, much higher in frequency. And the meats and the potatoes and the sweets tends to lower the frequency of the entire body. Now, we have some very good studies on this.
All of those things that I love are lowering my frequency.
Well, you'll learn to love the others.
Well, I do love the others.
Of course you do.
But I certainly am fascinated, Dr. Hunt, by the idea that we can bypass chemicals, perhaps.
We can.
And start looking now at the electronic or the field upon which our physical being is really operating.
You know, I think we've done very well now in increasing our physical activity. This nation now is very active, conscious, and we do increase the capability of the physical body to resist disease and dysfunction by physical exercise. But we will take on a new form of exercise, which is exercise in the electromagnetic system.
How do you do that?
Well, this is one I was just telling you about. You breathe through, you think about, you feel energy moving through your particular body. And one of the things that's done, and many teachers teach this, is to, and you can do this right now and your listeners can do this, can think about energy coming down your hand and dripping off your fingertips as though water is dripping off the fingertip. And as you take a breath, you will breathe in through the lungs. And as you exhale, you will feel that energy going right out to your fingertips and dripping off your fingertips. And then put your hand on your knee and feel the radiation coming through your hand.
All right, I think that's a little thing that we can all just...
Everyone can try
that. Practice
on
that right now.
You take a breath, and you're aware now, taking the breath into your lungs. And as you exhale, you experience the energy going out your arm, into your hand, and dripping off your hand as though it is water, or energy dripping off your hand, and just let it go right back into your body. Now, wherever there's pain or wherever there is difficulty, you can use this technique. It will heal cuts, injuries very rapidly.
I do feel a little tingle doing
that. Sure you do. Mm. And if you stay there long enough, it's going to get real hot.
Man, that happened a number of occasions, too.
I bet you.
Well, while everybody is trying that experiment again, mm-hmm. we're going to take a little bit of a break here, if I may. At 22 minutes past the 9 o'clock mark, it's Open Mind. I need to have with me Dr. Valerie Hunt. Her research in the energy fields has taken her all over the world, to the Antarctic, to the Arctic, to explore the effects of the Earth's magnetism on the human field. And we're discovering tonight that at the very core of your physical body is an electromagnetic matrix. And that seems to be powering everything. And if something goes wrong with it, something is going to go wrong with your physical body. And the trick then is to start dealing with the very, very basics of physical life, and that is this matrix, this electromagnetic field. The psychics and the clairvoyants have seen a manifestation of this in auras. And auras tell us a lot. In fact, they sound nice. And we'll be listening to them in just a second. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind. Do you see them?
Yes. I don't see them all the time, but I see them very often.
Can you see them on will, or do they just kind of pop up?
If I'm in the laboratory and I'm working in that realm, I see them most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Much of the time, I have to go into a higher state of consciousness. In other words, I'm not working with everyday reality.
Right. I've only seen an aura once.
Isn't that exciting?
That was when I was being hypnotized for a past life regression by Dr. Frank Baranowski.
Yes.
And that almost stopped the whole session because all at once I saw these beautiful golds and yellows and things around him.
Yes.
And I just wanted to watch that for a while.
Of course.
I didn't want to go any further.
Of course.
But that's it. I haven't been able to see them beyond that. But you listen to auras, I understand.
Yes, let me tell you about this electromagnetic energy. There's a part of it that is within the hearing range. And when this is amplified, the signal is a very small signal, but when you amplify it, you don't have to change it at all, then you hear sounds. Now, I have recorded the sound of the human aura for 600, 700 hours, and I found that by using high-frequency analysis, every time an aura reader would say blue, it had a particular shape, it had a particular frequency, and using a Fourier analysis,
mm-hmm.
we could tell what was the common sound for a particular color. So you have a tape there of the colors.
Okay, shall I turn that on? And...
Well, I'll tell you what we did here. You don't have the actual. You have these embedded in music
mm-hmm.
to make it... more appealing to people.
Okay. So
the first one, the one you're going to turn on is a blue, if you're putting it where I set it,
mm-hmm.
it will be a blue and violet color, and then the music is put to it.
Okay.
This should make you feel very relaxed.
All right, we will play that here for a little bit, and you feel free to come in and explain on top
okay.
of it, you will.
Weather.
So this is the blue and violet aura of the human being.
At the beginning, you will hear just the aura, and then the music comes in afterwards.
So that sound is just the sound of the aura.
Yes. Now, the aura is below this now.
Now you're laying in the music.
That's right.
And for those that can hear stereo, AM radio, it's in stereo for you.
Yes, this is a stereo sound.
Are auras in stereo?
Don't think so, but we put this in stereo.
Yeah. All right, let's just listen for a moment, because you're listening to a human aura with some music laid in over on top of it. This is put together by Dr. Valerie Hunt of her extensive research. Amazed, Dr. Hunt, at how calming that is.
Isn't that lovely? I'd just like to say that Jay Gruska is the composer of the music.
It is. Go ahead and talk. I'm just going to leave it underneath.
Yeah, please just leave it there.
Yeah.
Because I have the blue, and the one that follows this is mauve and violet, which is also a very exciting one.
Yes.
But he was so excited when I played these sounds to him. And he said it's exactly like the word which is called the ostinato, which is used in the great music, which has undertones that carry the melody. Well, this is the biological ostinato, which carries the biological sounds and the biological information.
And everybody is projecting this at all times, then?
Yes, constantly, as long as there is life.
Okay.
Now, the interesting thing is sometimes parts of the body don't have a very strong field. It's almost as though we say it's out to lunch. The field is...
That's what they say about my body all the time.
The field is isolated in some parts and not totally throughout the entire body. This presupposes, then, some problems with circulation, dysfunction, disease, and injury.
You know, I have talked to a lot of people who see auras,
mm-hmm.
and they will say you have a blue aura, or mm-hmm. you have a purple, or you have all of these colors.
Mm-hmm.
And I get the idea that there is an automatic meaning to those colors, that is, in talking to the ones that see them, that is very consistent. But I wonder if that is really so.
Well, I tell you, it's been exaggerated. And that is, everything has been placed upon that color.
Yeah.
Rather than a much more elaborate idea of a field, which has to do with coherency, which has to do with the quantity of the flow, which has to do with the frequency, with what we call wave trains, and all of these elaborate things of the field. Now, the color, there isn't really color. The color is an interpretation of a frequency when this impinges on the eye.
Mm-hmm.
And when it impinges on the ear and you hear a sound. So it is a vibration that impinges on the eye. We look at it and we see a color. There are some general ideas which we have found, however, such as the blues are much more relaxing and generally put people to sleep.
That was a blue we just played.
Yeah, that was blue. The reds are very, very stimulating. And we use these for people who have asthenic diseases and hypo diseases, those diseases where there's not enough activity.
Now, the second tape I have, is that a red?
The next one you're going to play?
Mm-hmm.
No, if it's right after the blue, this will be mauve and violet.
Okay.
This should take you into a higher consciousness. Enjoy this one.
Shall we go for it?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Let's go for this one and see what happens. This is the human auric field. You hear that?
It's mauve and violet.
And then the music will lay in underneath it. And in stereo, for those of you here, AM stereo. So let's just enjoy this for a second, Joan.
Let's do it.
Different sense, a different feel altogether.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
It's very quieting, but it is not as relaxed as the blue.
That is correct, because it has a little red in it, Bill. And that red is a little more stimulating.
Yeah, it's. It doesn't want me to... I don't want to lean my head back and go to sleep.
No.
I just want to be intensely listening to what is happening here with the music. We'll just keep it under. You just keep on talking.
Well, I'd just like to say that we're doing some extensive research now on the use of the blue for sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And we're finding it's quieting nervous babies. And parents are putting this on at night when the child goes to sleep, and the child goes very rapidly. If the child wakes up in the middle of the night and is restless, flip it back on and crawl into bed. It's a great help. The reds and the orange are extremely interesting. for stimulating people who are weak. We don't play them very long. We're using them for ulcers to encourage and increase the vitality. An interesting one you don't have down there tonight is a green and a yellow, which I've had great success with so far in some neurological disturbances, particularly those that go with the aging population, for both hearing difficulties and visual difficulties, in which otologists have said this is hearing loss as a result of nerve defect, and we have found out that it's a result of the electromagnetic field is very weak.
Have you ever tried to induce these into the consciousness digitally so that you can bypass the eighth auditory nerve and, like, introduce it through the skin?
No, I have not at the present time.
That might be a very interesting thing to do.
And it's a possibility.
With devices like Dr. Flanagan's Neurophone.
Yeah, except, you know, there's some great information coming out of France now that has to do with the stimulation of the brain by way of the auditory nerve.
Mm-hmm.
And if the research that's coming there is correct, we probably will prefer to put it in through the ear because of the need and the stimulation to the brain being very, very greater from the auditory nerve than from any of the tactile.
There is a new science that is upon us, and we'll be springing that on you here in the not-too-distant future that sort of combines the auditory nerve and also the sensory perceptive ability of the human skin by scalar pulsing.
That's a good one.
Sound, our music.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
And it's like turning on a speaker in the back of your head, actually.
Mm-hmm. Let me just add one thing there, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, there is, within the human energy field, a pattern,
mm-hmm.
which is a very human pattern. Now, as soon as we go to mechanical patterns, we come in with a much more limited and not as much harmonics mm-hmm. coming with it. And I will look for these kinds of new information and try to test them out and see if they're doing the same thing, because we will be able to test what happens to the field when you introduce these. Do you follow?
I certainly do.
Rather than just what's happening to the nervous system or to some symptom. But what is the phenomenon that is occurring that may have certain effects upon hearing or vision or so forth?
Would it be proper to assume that a person gets a disease because there is a breakdown in this auric field more than the disease caused the breakdown?
I think we will find that is the primary source.
Something
that
caused
the field breaks down before the immune system breaks down. Do you follow?
Mm-hmm.
Which is already a disturbance.
Well, the immune system certainly is going to be functioning with that field.
Yes, it is.
In fact, the immune system, the reticulum system, is going to be very, very co-responsive to it.
Correct.
Again, I like that term. It's the matrix upon which all of it is built.
That is good.
We have tape 3. Are those the reds?
Are you coming forward or are you going backward?
Well, let me see. We had the blue.
Yeah.
And then we had...
You didn't start right at the beginning. You started where I had set it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, you have to go back to the beginning to get the red.
Well, I have three little cassettes here, three little tapes that the engineering department made from the material you sent
over.
Okay,
play it and let me hear it, and I'll tell you.
So we're going to play that in just a second. I want to take a little break.
All right.
And we're trying to calm your aura or your auric field. Bree Hunt, who has done probably some of the most extensive and in-depth research in the human auric field, the role that electromagnetism plays in our life, our being, our health, everything about us. She's worked at UCLA. She's a professor emeritus from UCLA right now, and she certainly is our guest tonight. And we're going to listen to An Unknown Color here, right, Dr. Hunt? You tell me what it is.
Okay. Playing the reds. The reds were at the first, but this is into the purples. Listen to this and see how high it goes. This is the highest frequency.
All right, now this is supposed to do what to us?
Well, this one is takes us into the spiritual area. really interesting thing. I found that as soon as we got up into the very high frequencies, the individual started having spiritual experiences, whether they were particularly religious or not. But that is the realm at which we experience spiritual things.
I sure get an interesting kind of pulsing in my head.
Do you? Yes, this one is high. You'll find it up around the third eye and the top of the head. Actually, as you play these, you will progress upward. And this is into the purples. The red is the first one. And they probably didn't do that because I didn't know how many you wanted to play.
Oh, listen, they're so nice, we could just play them all night long.
Aren't they fun?
They're just
yeah.
fun.
These are going to be available in the commercial market.
Are they?
Yes. At the present time, my partner, Dan Rosenman, and I are working on expediting these so they will be available to people.